up in the morning with Boomer. Picture that. Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
It is Monday Night Football coming up at Shanks North and Shanks South. It'll be the Chicago Bears taking on the New York Jets. $3.95 chicken wings, $4.95 Bud Light Draft. Shanks Sports Grill, your NFL headquarters in Calgary. Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider, joins us. Good morning, Jason. I know I'll start here because I know last year when we would talk about the Cincinnati Bengals, they were kind of one of your picks, if not to do well or if not to win at all, then to be one of the teams right there. It did not end up being the case. Maybe you were just off by a year because the Bengals are looking very strong.
I've liked their roster for a couple of years now. I've liked the development of a lot of their young players. We just don't know what they can do when the lights get really bright in January. I mean, that's been their problem. They've been a nice football team. You know, September, October, November, into December. It's about getting over that hump now, just winning divisions. That's not going to placate people in Cincinnati anymore. It's about what do these guys do? In the postseason, Marvin Lewis hasn't won a playoff game. He's one of the longest tenured coaches in the league. And Andy Dalton, for all the very exciting, you know, regular season yardage totals he's put up and whatnot, he hasn't been good in the postseason either. So it's really, you know, wait and see on them. It's really no sense judging them now. I think they've been the most complete football team in the NFL in a year in which not too many teams have played 12 decent quarters of football. Not too many teams have been anything close to impressive for more games than not, and we're only three games into it. They have, but that's only going to buy them so much goodwill, because if they're one and done in the playoffs again, I think even if they're 14-2, heads will roll there. If there'll be some changes made, I suspect, if they can't duplicate their regular season success in the postseason.
And it looks like they're turning Andy Dalton into more of a game manager than a guy they're going to live and die by. He has not thrown for a ton of touchdowns nor picks. They're happy to run the ball all day.
Well, I mean, they drafted Jeremy Hill. They feel like they've got a very deep group of running backs. They're using Andy Dalton in a lot of spread formations and some zone read stuff. And he's had some, especially within the red zone, he's had more keepers, quarterback keepers, than I would have ever imagined. He caught a touchdown pass yesterday in sort of a trick play kind of situation. So Hugh Jackson, the new offensive coordinator, has certainly reestablished the want and the need to beat people up physically in the run game. And then also to utilize Andy Dalton in some different ways. He's a little more of an athlete than I think any of us suspected, at least judging, you know, in the first 3 weeks of the season and how he's been used. And we'll see. You know, they managed to keep A.J. Green healthy. It looked like he might miss a little bit of time. They get the early bye. I'd suspect we see Vontaze Burfict coming out of the bye in week 5. But, you know, he's had two concussions already this season, so that could be a major concern for them. We'll have to see how healthy they can get. Marvin Jones should be back at some point. Tyler Eifert, they think, will be back at the back end of the season. So, you know, that could be a team that really is even deeper and better in December, potentially, than they have been these 3 weeks. And they've looked pretty good these 3 weeks.
Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider for Shanks Sports Grill. Yesterday in Glendale, the Arizona Cardinals defeat San Francisco 23-14. The Cardinals 3-0. The Niners have now dropped a pair in two straight. Cardinals, without their number one quarterback, have won the last two games. What did we see? Was it the Niners just being off their game? Is how much credit do you give to Arizona in this one? What'd you see?
Well, I think you have to credit Arizona. I mean, they're 3-0. They've won back-to-back games with Drew Stanton as their quarterback, and they had to do one on the road. And I know the Giants are no great shakes, but they still had to go across the country with a backup quarterback. And they've had a lot of other injuries as well. And win that game. And, you know, the week one, San Diego, the last 2 weeks, I mean, they've been as good as any team in the league. And week one, Arizona knocked them off. So, I mean, Bruce Arians now, you go back to, Indianapolis, and he takes over for Chuck Pagano in the middle of the season, very early in the season, when the head coach is diagnosed with cancer out of the blue. He goes 9-3. And last year, first year in Arizona, no one has expected anything. He goes 10-6. And now he's one of the only three 3-0 teams in the NFL. So he's doing something right. I mean, I'm not very good at math, but that's 22-9. You win 22 of your first 30 football games as a head coach in this league, especially under duress. And again, this year, without a starting quarterback for two of the three games, you're obviously onto something there. They play their guts out. They obviously love their head coach. They have a fighting spirit there. And they play smart. I mean, we saw the 49ers self-destruct in a lot of different ways yesterday. Special teams miscues. Anquan Boldin with a ridiculous headbutt to take them out of a position where they could have gone ahead in the game. A couple of other personal fouls that were uncalled for. And Carolina kept their cool. Drew Stanton made plays when he had to. No one runs the ball that well in the 49ers. That's still one thing they have going for themselves. But late in the game, Ellington did show up a little bit, and they did keep trying to move it on the ground and stay balanced. I give Arizona a lot of credit. And the 49ers, to me, this was a boom or bust year. This was the year that they either all got over the hump with Harbaugh and, you know, all that collegiate stuff paid dividends, or this was a year where things started to fray and maybe the message started to get a little old, and maybe that team has gotten a little older than they think, and maybe that roster isn't nearly as good as they think. And it's only three games, but right now there's certainly cause for concern with the 49ers. They're not the big, bad 49ers of before. They're not bullying people out of these games. They're not intimidating anyone. And that defense, again, they can stop the run, but they're not scaring anybody in the pass game. I mean, the lack of Navarro Bowman and Alden Smith in that defense is having a massive effect.
Just a thought on that Super Bowl rematch yesterday, Jason, from Seattle. What do you make of Seahawks-Broncos Part 2?
You know, I got to tip my cap to the Denver defense. I understand they gave up that drive in overtime, but, you know, Seattle's not losing a whole lot of games at home. But Denver was dead in that game until the defense woke them up. I mean, for three quarters, Peyton Manning was absolutely befuddled. He looked like a grandpa out there. I mean, he was just kind of looking around, seemed a little slower than everybody else. The ball's wobbling like a duck, floating in the air, sailing. Nothing really thrown on a BB. No, not taking any deep chances. Just kind of looked like. He was getting handed to him, and it's 17-3, and the defense turned it around. That safety on Marshawn Lynch was huge. Special teams downing the ball a couple times and changing field position was huge. The interception was huge. That finally invigorated the offense. And then Peyton did. You know, Peyton woke up in the fourth quarter and he did some Peyton Manning things to tie the game. But I think you could see some of the fruits of Denver's off-season labors in that game, and it's no shame losing at Seattle because pretty much everybody does it. I don't know that offense is going to be what it was last year. I don't know if that's possible. Monte Ball to me is very much a question mark, and they really lacked that third down. But last year they threw a lot of balls to Sean Moreno. They loved him coming out of the backfield. They love him as a pass protector. Monte Ball, still proving his worth as a pass protector, and he's not gifted with natural hands the way Moreno was. So, you know, that to me could be an issue for them. But look, they're a good team. They're going to win that division. They'll be there in the end. But the better defense and the more physical team still often wins in this league, and I think the pendulum has swung even more to defense. I mean, we're talking about Peyton Manning. He's nowhere near what he was a year ago. Tom Brady is flat-out struggling, and he can't get any pass protection. Drew Brees is struggling. Aaron Rodgers is struggling. I mean, this is the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop. Ben Roethlisberger, that team went eight quarters without scoring a touchdown. I mean, you're talking about some of the best quarterbacks in the league. None of them are off to a flying start. I think it's fair to say that there's been some defensive recalibration in this league.
Stay with New England there, because they almost lost that game to Oakland. There was all kinds of opportunity for the Raiders.
Very easily could have lost. New England offensively right now is rudderless. It's almost a hope and a prayer. Everything is a struggle. They're always in third and long. I think Edelman was targeted 13 times. I mean, the whole offense runs through Edelman now, especially on third down and in the red zone. He's taking a huge beating. You know, Gronk still only playing slightly more than 50% of the snaps. He's not 100%. There's times in games where they force feed him the ball and he looks like Gronk, but you don't see that over four quarters, not even close to it. They have no semblance of a deep threat whatsoever. No one's even worried about them making plays outside the hash marks. You know, that Tompkins or Dobson, the idea that one of those young speedsters was going to develop, it's just not there. They have no one to stretch the defense. Danny Amendola is a spare part. And the offensive line is getting absolutely mauled. I mean, that Oakland team, if you watch them at home against Houston, that was as pathetic of a performance as you could imagine. They couldn't, they could, the offensive line could do nothing. I mean, you would go in there thinking Oakland's got no shot going across the country. I mean, if New England could just kind of keep Brady a little bit upright, they'll get shredded. They couldn't keep Brady a little bit upright. He was constantly being hit, constantly being harassed. He was visibly frustrated. The run game was okay, but I mean, Oakland was giving up 200 yards a game on the ground, and New England didn't come close to that. New England's got some issues. They can't run what they want to run right now because of that offensive line. And there's only two or three guys who Brady still trusts. And I don't know. They're better defensively, and they're better on special teams. But, man, that's not at all what I thought that offense would look like. And I really I represented just what an issue their offensive line is.
Chatting with Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider for Shanks Sports Grill. Still with quarterbacks. It looks as though the Bridgewater Bortles era has begun in the NFL.
Yeah, it was only a matter of time for most of these kids, and I thought that six or seven rookie quarterbacks would start games this year when it's all said and done. And Bortles is going to stay as the starter. Bridgewater is going to stay as the starter. Obviously, Derek Carr has been starting since the beginning of the season. Manziel is on the field here and there. I don't think he'll be starting anytime soon, but he at least shows up on the field a little bit. If Jake Locker continues on this trend, I think we'll see Mettenberger starting there sometime next month. And then obviously injuries will lead to some of these kids playing in other places as well. Yeah, it was a tough spot for Bridgewater. I mean, New Orleans was dominating that game through the first quarter. Castle gets hurt, and Minnesota stayed in that game, and I credit their defense. That's another team, another quarterback, Drew Brees, where that offense is not anywhere near what people thought it would be. It's not prolific at all. They have to force the ball to Jimmy Graham to get big plays. Nobody else is really stepping up on a regular basis. The loss of Darren Sproles, to me, looks very significant through 3 weeks in terms of that element of the screen game and him taking a little 3-yard pass and turning it into a 50-yard gain. North Turner liked Bridgewater a lot. It was only a matter of time before he played. Injuries expedited this a little bit, although with what Castle had done the last couple of games, this was in the air for competitive reasons as well, and obviously it ended up happening because of an injury. But these kids, a lot of them will play. I think even a few nobody's talking about right now will end up playing the game for one reason or another. I mean, if Cincinnati goes on this kind of a tear and they clinch that division with four games to play, they may take a look at A.J. McCarron for a game and sit Andy Dalton. So, we'll see six or seven of these kids when it's all said or done.
Kirk Cousins finished with over 400 yards passing, and a Washington team that looked lost with RG3 at the helm suddenly has some life.
80 points in the last seven quarters, or close to it. Close to 80 points in the last seven quarters with Kirk Cousins there. He is a better fit in that offense. It moves quicker. It flows better. The speed of thought is much quicker. RG3 wasn't the same physically this year. And for whatever reason, you'd think another year removed from the surgery, it'd be better. It just wasn't there. He wasn't running away from people. He wasn't explosive. He wasn't the best athlete on the field. When you're not a natural pocket passer, and now you're no longer the most dynamic athletic specimen on the field, you're not running away from linebackers. You're getting dragged down by safeties. That's gonna be a problem. Cousins looks confident. Everybody's showing up. He's not like playing any favorites. It's not, let's just target Pierre Garçon 20 times today. I mean, everyone's getting the ball. There's a lot to like there, without a doubt. The team just seems to have really rallied around him. Yeah, they lost that game at Philadelphia, but, man, it was a slugfest. And offensively, they gave as well as they got. If they get their tight end Jordan Reed back in a couple of weeks, there's potential for that thing to look even a little more robust offensively. So I don't think Kirk Cousins loses that job. I mean, maybe RG3 is healthy in 6 to 8 weeks, but no one's going to be rushing him. There won't be any firm timetable. And I don't suspect that from a coaching perspective, they're going to need to see a whole lot other than what they're getting out of Kirk Cousins right now.
I was impressed on the other side. Nick Foles, 325 yards, but he was running for his life. He was on the ground, but yet three touchdowns, no picks, never was sacked. He managed to distribute that hit, the one bomb that he took there. He came up and won the game for them.
Yeah, it was another game where they started slowly. Washington had the ball the entire first quarter. I mean, it was 14-7, but the Eagles scored on a return. So literally, Washington, I mean, it took Foles a while to get going because he was not on the field in the entire first quarter, save for like two plays. So when they got going, they exploded. They were down to one starting offensive lineman in the fourth quarter. So he was getting hit a lot, not necessarily sacked, but he was absorbing a lot of punishment, as was Shady McCoy. You know, he kept getting back up and so touchdown throws he made late in that game were pretty special. It's clear that, you know, Foles is Chip Kelly's guy, and he's thriving in that environment. They can't keep losing offensive linemen like this. I mean, we'll have to see, you know, the extent of Jason Kelsey's injury. It looked pretty serious. Their left tackle, Jason Peters, was ejected. I mean, he won't be suspended or anything, so he'll be back. The Eagles, first team in NFL history to fall behind by at least 10 points or more in each of their three games and still win. I don't know that you can keep that script going that way all year, and I worry about their defense. I think they've got some issues there, and they've been figured out there a little bit. But Foles is certainly not a problem for them, and he's gutsy as heck. The kid, showed a lot again yesterday, and they're going to score points. We know they're going to score points. I just don't know how well they're going to defend.
Jason, great stuff, man. Have a good week. We will talk to you on Thursday.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Jason Lackenfora, NFL Insider. Tonight, the Bears, the Jets at the Shanks. Shanks North, Shanks South, Pinder and Steinberg will be hosting at both locations, well, one at each. And we got some specials for you, as always. If you like food and beer, you know that is.
I like both.
Yeah, it'll be $3.95 chicken wings, $4.95 Bud Light Draft, Shanks Sports Grill, your NFL headquarters in Calgary. And we'll have that game for you tonight on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, starting just after 6 p.m.
Lots of great prizes as well. Giving out phone chargers, speakers, jerseys, hats, memorabilia of all kinds. And, of course, the big giveaway, we're going to send from each location a pair of fans down to San Diego to watch the Chargers and the Broncos in what's looking like could be a showdown for top spot in the AFC West.
Very nice. All that tonight at Shanks. We'll come back with our NHL insider, scoops from around the league with Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Morning Hockey Talk with Boomer, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Monday morning rolls on now, 9:28. Time is running out on our romantic escape with Signature Vacations. It's so romantic. Winter fast approaching. You know what you want to, where you want to be, what you want to be doing. You want to be out of here, warming up, beach, drinks. Sports at 960 The Fan. Signature Vacations going to help you escape the winter with a getaway to the Bloody Bay in Negril, Jamaica. Enjoy a luxury vacation at the Rieu Negril Resort. Fan Club members, enter to win this amazing vacation for two. You do it now at our website, sportsnet.ca/960. You need those fan club points. You can get them if you're a fan club member. Secret seats. They'll have some stuff on there periodically as far as surveys and different ways to grab those points. and then you can fire them all into a draw like this. We'll make that by the end of this month, which is now about a week, 10 days away. So if you haven't already, get in there. Your friends at Signature Vacations, Ryu Hotel and Resorts, and Sportsnet 960 The Fan could be sending you to Jamaica coming up this winter. Before the top of the hour, we'll do the usual what you want to talk about. Get your thoughts and ideas ready. 960, 960 on your mobile phone. Taking us there, though, our NHL insider, Elliot Friedman. The whole thing there has always been funny, right, with Colorado. It was a matter of time until those two took over. Do you still? I'm just curious, who's calling the shots? Because I still feel like it's Patrick Waugh, and like Sakic is still kind of a background guy, even though now entitled he's the general manager.
Well, it's last year, I remember asking this question, and in the NHL, each team has to sort of like, I don't know if it's fill out a form is the right way to say it, but they have to let the league know, like, who signs off on your deals. And last year, I remember asking the league, whose name is on this in Colorado, and it was Waugh's. And, you know, I think the way it kind of works there is that Waugh has got the vice president title, and Sakic's title is actually above his. And I think it's Sakic, but Waugh's got a lot of power there. And I think basically the best way to say it is Waugh's kind of, even though Sakic has that title, the easiest way to explain it is Waugh's kind of like the coach and GM with a lot of say. And Sakic is kind of like oversees it, but I think he defers a lot to Waugh in those decisions. But there's two other guys there. Like Sherman, I know everybody's poking fun at him, but he still has a role. He does a lot of the contract stuff. He's the guy who attended the GM meetings for Colorado last year, so he still has a role. And the other guy in there who doesn't really get a lot of attention but I think is really paramount to it is the former goalie Craig Billington. He does a lot of the scouting. He and Waugh are really tight from when they played together. And I think he's the guy who goes and sees a lot of the players and does a lot of the legwork that Waugh and Sakic don't do. So I think that's kind of how it works. And one of the storylines that's kind of going on this year is, will somebody offer a similar job to Mike Babcock next year? Is that what A, Babcock wants, or B, another team is willing to do if they want to get him out of Detroit? Because obviously with Ken Holland, Detroit's not in a position to offer that.
I guess with training camps having now been underway, players reporting over the course of the weekend, anything stand out to you? Have you heard any? I look at the players that are not in camp, obviously, and we talked about that last week. But of guys that are there, anything cross your desk?
Well, I always, I always tell people when it comes to the young players, don't get too caught up in the first week. In the first week, the team's rosters are bloated. A lot of the veteran players aren't playing. You only have to dress eight veterans, and your previous year's or this year's first-round draft pick counts as one. So you see a lot of rosters with a lot of names you won't see during the season. So I always tell people, wait until week two before you make your judgment on your young players. I mean, there's a couple of interesting things going on. Like, the LA Kings have a forward by the name of Andy Andreyev. He played a lot in the American Hockey League, all year in the American Hockey League last year. He's no longer eligible for waivers. And I know that there are a lot of teams that kind of have their eye on him. If the Kings have to put him on waivers, he's going to get claimed. So I think he's going to be like the kind of guy who gets scouted a lot over the next 2 weeks, and then the LA Kings sort of look at making a decision. Do we try to put him on waivers and risk losing him for nothing, or are we going to move somebody else so we can keep him? And I think that's the kind of thing that you'll be keeping your eye out on the next week or so. Does anybody sort of force them away onto a roster like this kid might?
Just reading, and again, because we're closer to it, I suppose, but there's so much talk about what the Winnipeg Jets are. What are they going to do? Evander Kane, are they going to trade him?
I don't think they're going to trade him.
There seems to be more buzz or a likelihood of trading Dustin Byfuglien than Evander Kane.
You know, Byfuglien, the thing about Byfuglien is he's getting close to his contract being up. you know, the Winnipeg situation is really interesting to me because there have been a lot of rumors about how all those guys get along. I'll tell you something interesting about Byfuglien. I was told last year that when the young guys like Scheifele and Truba were around before, you know, both got hurt at times, Byfuglien was the guy who was really inclusive to them. Like he'd always be the guy who'd go up to them and say, "Hey, you guys have somewhere to go for dinner tonight, whether they are at home or on the road." And he was a guy who really helped out with them and was one of the best guys to them. And I heard some people looked at Byfuglien very positively for that. I think, you know, the thing about Byfuglien is I think people just have to get used to who and what he is. I know he's frustrating sometimes. He comes in, you know, heavier than you like, and he takes longer shifts than you like. But if you look at what he does on the ice, Dean, that's hard to replace. Like, how many guys are as versatile as he is, can play forward 5-on-5, be a devastating guy on your power play, and then if you really need it, he can go back and play a shift on defense and not kill you. I get that Byfuglien can be frustrating, and I think if Winnipeg deals him, it's probably going to be a contract thing. I remember a couple of years ago, I heard rumors that Byfuglien was available, and the agent was taken by surprise, and the team, like, ferociously denied it, like, harder than regular denials go. So I've heard these rumors about Byfuglien before, and it's never happened. I just think Winnipeg eventually is going to have to do something to shake up their group. And I think they'll have a big decision with their rookie, too. There were a lot of people who watched him last week in Penticton, and they kind of said, this guy might be ready now.
I sort of look at what Winnipeg's done, and certainly there's been all kinds of criticism, and rightly so, for the lack of the big move. But they've quietly collected a lot of good young prospects. Patan, Scheifele, Ehlers, Truba, Morrissey, they got some kids. Where are they in terms of that bigger picture? Are they sell, are they buy, are they now, or are they in 5 years?
Well, I think one of the things there, Kevin Cheveldayoff, and I've been watching some of his interviews, he's talked a lot about drafting and developing. So, you know, that's what he's trying to sell, is that we're going to be ready this year. We're going to be growing our guys. The tough thing there is that it's hard to sell that to the fan base right now. Like, for 2 years, they were excited their team was back. Now they want a playoff berth. You know, they're tired of waiting. And I think the organization in some ways are tired of waiting too. It's hard for them right now. I think because I look at them in the Western Conference, and I'm just wondering, you know, how are they going to be able to catch some of those teams that are already there? I think they're in a really tough spot because, to me, Ryan, I look at the biggest question is their goaltending. You know, Pavlik, simply has not been as good as you need to be to get into the playoff race. And unless he's going to be better than that, I don't see how they're going to pass some of these teams. Like, who that made the playoffs last year are they better than? And I would love to know the answer to that question. I think if Pavlik is not good enough, it's going to be tough for them to pass those teams.
And last one for you, in Pittsburgh, Malkin, Crosby, both missing the start of camp. Any updates there?
No, the Penguins are really tight with injuries, but I'm working on something, actually. You know, one of the things that we're starting to see behind the scenes is teams are getting upset at what's going on in the offseason that they don't know about. And this is something the players have a right to, is to choose their workouts in the offseason and where they go. But I think you're going to see a move from teams to start saying, wait a sec, we need some better handles on this because guys are showing up and they're getting hurt right away. I spoke to a guy yesterday by the name of Matt Nickel. He's a trainer. He runs the BioSteel camp here in Toronto. And he says that there are some teams that are really good about calling him and saying, hey, what are you going to be doing with our guy? This is what we'd kind of like with it. Can we work with us? He actually said Calgary was one of the best teams about doing that. But there's a lot of other teams that won't speak to him or don't make the effort. And I think the one thing you're going to see out of all these injuries, guys, is teams starting to take more activity in the offseason about saying, hey, exactly what are you doing with our guys? And if the answer is cycling, for example, I think you're going to see them try to put their foot down more. They really hate the idea of players cycling because they think it hurts your hips for hockey because it forces your hips to do things that don't help you when you skate.
Well, I know that's why I gave up cycling.
I'm sure.
It's my hips.
I'm sure that was it.
Hip pointers. Thank you, Elliot. We'll talk to you later this week.
All right, guys.
It's Elliot. The great Elliot Friedman. A presentation, as always, of Eastside Kia. As I find it. Eastside Kia. The 2014 Clearout event is now on. Save $5,000 on a 2014 Kia Sportage SX Turbo. Now just $29,260 or $93 on a weekly payment. Receive a no-charge remote starter with your purchase. Visit Eastside Kia, 23rd and Barlow, or at eastsidekia.ca.
That seems quite reasonable.
It is.
Very good.
I got caught having a granola bar.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting healthier,
Wasn't ready for that.
You're not plowing Timbits. There's a bunch free in the lobby here.
Yeah, I'm a health nut. I'm a commercial for
health nut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Break time.
Temple, huh?
20 away from 10. And when we come back, it'll be what you want to talk about. 960 mobile phone, training camps, baseball, football, NFL, whatever you want to talk about. We'll get at it next. Yeah, sure. Sports at 960 The Fan.
Get in on the conversation now. Text the show at 960-960. Boomer in the morning. Only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Mornings, brought to you by Universal Ford Lincoln. Ford employee pricing is back. You pay what we pay. It's that simple. Find out more at 2800 Barlow Trail Northeast or at myuniversal.ca.
Big Show going to be at Wind Sport again today, I believe. Flames, practice ice. And like I was saying, can't help but wonder, within the next 24 hours or so, what we'll see in the way of cuts. But it is a busy week for the Flames. A lot of hockey to be played.
They go three in a row starting Wednesday. Sylvan Lake against the Coyotes. And then they do a home-and-home with the Canucks Thursday at the Dome, Friday at Rogers Center. A lot of hockey. Then they go Sunday, Tuesday with the Avs. So I think probably by the next Monday's show, we're going to have a pretty decent idea at least where the battle lines have been drawn in terms of camp and roster cuts, and certainly we'll have a smaller number probably even by Wednesday.
Yeah, between now and then, we have no idea, but stay tuned. Please keep listening.
Yeah, don't just wait till next Monday.
Let's get into the thing, Jay. I think every...
Was this a daily thing?
Where is that thing? I think we had the thing for...
It's not just Mondays.
Oh gosh, where is it here?
Talk about.
It is what you want to talk about, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's largest selection of Jeeps. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
Name drop.
Jeep.
There you go. 960-960 mobile phone is how you get in. Your thoughts, your questions, comments, whatever. We'll get to it here. Let's start. People want to know about Hiller's pads.
Yeah, there's a couple questions about Hiller's gear and even the helmet.
He's, what are the cohos? Is that what he's got on? Kind of the...
I don't know, but he's gone with the very maroony red.
Yeah, it's a deeper red.
It's a burnt red of sorts.
And I think it's more than anything else, it's a lot of red.
There is a lot of red.
There's not a lot of white. I think there's maybe some, there's black and maybe some yellow in there, but it's predominantly red. Here's the thing. Hiller, mask for sure, has had the worst mask in the NHL for years running.
You didn't like the matte black bucket?
Terrible.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan
of that. With all the shiny, no good. And the one he had before that, no good. So, for him to suddenly move here... And have a newfound taste in equipment, maybe a little bit too much to expect.
I'd be happy if he just plays well in net.
I'm okay with
the style's not phenomenal.
Well, and he catches. I don't know if you notice, catches with the wrong hand.
Is it goofy?
Yeah. Wrong-handed catcher.
There you go.
Good morning from Clooney on the last 100 acres. Break out the beer. Hello and good morning to everyone.
Hey Clooney,
out in Clooney, all
you
the
know
shut-ins.
What? When you're done all the combine work in Clooney, let's have a beer, shall we? Come on into town. You got some time on your hands. I'll have a beer.
Maybe, you know what, you should take lunch out to the field.
Yeah, sure.
They do that.
Bring out some subs.
What do they call that? Yeah, there's a name for it. But when the radio stations, they do a contest, like, we'll bring you your food in the field. And they show up with their station vehicle, and they drive right out to the combine, and the grain trucks all come around, and they have some fried chicken and Coke.
And cola.
And then
wash it down with cola, kids.
And then the radio people leave, and the farmers say, what a bunch of losers those guys are. And they go back to combining. San Diego, your team, somebody wants to give some
How about some
props,
Chargers?
Apparently. You're very excited.
That's two pretty big wins. If you think about Seattle at home and then Buffalo on the road,
mm-hmm.
The one thing the Chargers have been known for is last few years, they can get up and beat the big teams, but they have a tendency to fall back to earth against lesser thans, especially when going to the Eastern time zone. So it's a big one in Buffalo in that sense because they usually suck going to the morning game in the Eastern time zone. And now they have to be Jacksonville at home next week, which looks easy and should be easy. You do that, then we'll start talking legit. But you cannot lose that game, period, stop. Look good.
Boomer, how much do you make? Just curious.
That's probably something you want.
How much of what do I make?
Probably money annually.
Oh. Well, it's a lot.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a crazy amount.
Like 7-8 digits?
For what I do here? Like we talk for 4 hours a day. Yeah, it's a lot. Driving from Red Deer to Calgary, thanks for the lols, you donkeys. You're welcome for the lols. First time I got to disagree with something Elliot said. Wonder if Clara Hughes thinks skating and cycling don't work together.
Yeah, that's not a hockey player. Sorry.
Well, I would think that there's contact involved in hockey, whereas speed skating, not so much. I'm guessing it's the wear and tear on the hip.
Short track has lots of contact, Boomer.
Yeah. What Ivy League school did Pinder go to?
I did not attend an Ivy League school.
No?
No.
Hmm.
The University of Lethbridge, Alberta.
Hmm.
U of L. Go Pronghorns. And a good day to you in the Windy City.
That's a good question.
Yep.
I've never been a big NFL fan, but I want to get into it. Any advice on how to start? Who do I cheer for? What do I do? Proximity?
No, don't do proximity.
What do you do?
I mean, you're going to look like a bandwagon fan if you just suddenly become a huge Seahawks fan, aren't you? Fine.
Well, but that's the second part of it. They're closest in proximity, but you got to take that away. Just because they've won, I mean, that's the closest team.
It is a proximity thing for sure.
In this case, though, like you say,
yeah.
they're one of the best. Do you hop on a winner? Do you go the other way and go right to the bottom?
You can't force it. What I would encourage you to do is get involved. Maybe it's a little gambling here or there. Maybe it's a survivor pool. Maybe it's fantasy. Maybe it's just sitting down on a Sunday, getting the ticket and bouncing around. And this has to happen organically. This is like love, friends. You can't force it. It will find you.
Yeah.
There will be a match. You'll say, you know what? I love this Cincinnati team. They're kind of ugly, but they get it done.
Yeah,
it reminds
me
of me. I love them. It has to happen naturally.
But they wear tiger stripes. So
maybe
you can't
this guy
cheer for
is
them.
Wearing tiger print right now.
There's a lot of teams
They're
that
a
take
team
themselves
for somebody.
Right out of the running, right up front. Cam Newton, exciting quarterback. Carolina, going to be improved. They wear teal. So they're out.
Maybe this guy loves the
Bengals.
Sharks.
Bengals wearing stripes. You're out.
Dude, this is for you. There's going to be a team that fits this man's personality and life somewhere.
Stampeders quit in the fourth quarter against Edmonton, played half a game against Toronto, and did not show up in Montreal. This needs to stop immediately.
Yeah, it's dire times at 10-2. I'd say press that old panic button.
Well,
they're missing a lot of talent.
At the same time, it's not like Huffnagel's been sitting here preaching that everything's great. That there's nothing to work on every single week. And of course he's going to, but he said, there's some things we need to work on here. There's areas where eventually, and you see that a lot in football. You see that a lot in sport when you're on a win. And we talk about this all the time. When you're on a winning streak, things start to get shaky right before you lose.
Yep.
And when you're losing, you'll start playing a lot better right before you win.
Before the wins come.
And that was the way it was going. The Eskimo game, there's no way how many teams come back and beat Toronto a week ago. And then this week they didn't.
Yeah.
The other part of that is, yes, missing key players at four or five areas in the football game.
Best quarterback, best running back, best receiver, best pass rusher. You tell me how any team in the CFL would operate without that player.
Some more shout-outs. Good morning from Troshu. Good morning, Troshu. Yeah. And apparently there is great farming weather out in Tabor.
So Tabor. Love your coin.
They're broken up about Setoguchi getting injured last night, but they're loving the farming weather.
Well, let's hope a speedy recovery and continued farming weather.
No word on that. No update yet.
No. Neither Sam Bennett.
Went and saw Ari Shaffir on the weekend. He absolutely crushed it. Everyone should make sure they check him out as soon as they can, especially live. Yeah.
Did you go or not?
I did, yeah.
Jay, did you go to the old show on Saturday?
No, Jay's got a baby.
You went to Strathmore instead.
He's not going
listen
anywhere.
To it on the radio.
Yeah. Pinder, do you get paid or are you a summer intern that won't leave?
I was a fall intern last year. I'm still around.
Okay.
A year and a week now, by the way. Boom.
Yeah.
Love you.
A fall intern. Yeah. With 9 weeks of holidays.
Not nine.
Mm.
Four.
John Gillies, whatever happened to the hype of this goalie? Maybe I've missed it, but I haven't heard his name at all lately.
That's because he's an NCAA hockey player, which doesn't allow him to participate in prospects camp or main training camp. You won't hear anything. That's why you don't know anything about Mark Jankowski, Gilmore, Gillies, DeBlau, mm-hmm. any of the college kids. You just don't.
Matt DeBlau.
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 Not
that he's in the same categories.
When is Rogers going to extend your station throughout Saskatchewan? We're deprived. Love listening, even though I have to hear the Flames crap. Well, we're a Calgary radio station.
What would you expect?
That would be why we wouldn't go to your area and talk about local Calgary stuff, because you would not be that interested in it, I would guess.
It is refreshing to get a text from the 306 that does not involve a man's bowel movements as well. That's the first 306 text in a while that hasn't had to do with poo. So thank you for that.
Mm. Boomer picks a team based on fashion. No, I don't, but at some point, fashion has to factor in.
You got to be comfy in their gear if you're going to wear it.
If it's your team, like if you're a Rider fan and they put on those gear that gear that they wore yesterday, it's like, well, okay, whatever.
You best like green.
But that's my team. When the Seahawks change their stuff, it's like, geez, I don't know. But you stick with it.
I'm a Chargers fan. I need the powder blue. Got to feel good in it.
I'm
love
saying
the
if you are looking for a team, then you reserve the right to be a little bit selective. Yes or no, Berchi and Weidman won't be with the Flames at the end of this. Okay, so yes or no, they won't. No. It feels like that's a triple negative.
Let's rephrase that question.
Yes or no, I'm sorry, man.
Too tough. Would you be surprised if both those guys are gone, or one or zero?
No.
What's the most likely?
This is sitting on the fence. Nothing would surprise me with either one of those two.
Okay. That's fair.
I feel like the clock is really ticking on Berchi for sure. And Weidman's a guy right now with this blue line that until they get a good offer for him, they're not gonna just trade him to get rid of him. They don't need to get rid of the money. Look, they're going to keep him until somebody, maybe the deadline time, says, okay, we need a defenseman who can do what he does.
As for Berchi with time running out, I mean, I don't disagree with you just because it's a new tenure. The guys that drafted him aren't here anymore necessarily. And the fact that he has had the up and down last couple of years. But let's keep in mind where he is as compared to Joe Colburn, right? And Joe was a very high pick in the first round.
Everyone's different. You can't compare everyone.
I'm just saying that.
Why is Joe Colburn your comparable for everybody?
It's not. I'm just thinking of a guy in the first round that has some leash. You need to give Sven some leash, too.
All right. Boomer, how about Sven yesterday? My buddy who was at the game said he was almost invisible. I don't know. Again, I was watching two games on a kind of a split screen thing. The only thing I'll take from it, Bob Stauffer on Oiler Radio felt like he did nothing. Liked what Byron was doing, and I saw Byron making some plays. I saw Sven on a partial break get caught by Justin Schultz and couldn't get a shot away. Beyond that, I can't tell you because it's too hard from a computer laptop. But Stauffer was, for what it's worth, and I know this will get people going, but he just said he did not look good.
There's
at all.
Lots of time left, friends. We'll have a real good idea where Sven at by, you know, the time they make cuts in the regular season's upon us.
Good morning from Seattle, Washington. Love you guys. Hello, Seattle.
Whoa!
Hello, good morning.
Whoa!
Good morning. One thing is for our stamps. You can't use injuries as an excuse to loosing.
You don't want to loose.
Every team has injuries. It was just a bad game. No question. Bad game.
You want to play loose, but you don't want to loose.
Moving on. For the guy wanting to become an NFL fan, fire up Red Zone, turn on some Barry White or Michael Bolton, crack a bottle of red and a bag of salt and vinegar chips, and just do what comes naturally.
Yeah, I hear that. Amen.
I think that's what Walker used to do. He loved red wine and salt and vinegar chips.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What happened to Sam Bennett? Signed at 950 guy. Well, 950 guy, he's got a groin injury and has not played.
We've got a listener heading to L.A., staying in Venice Beach, catching a Dodgers game. Any recommendations? Well, I've stayed at the Hotel Irwin. Very nice rooftop patio. Just people watching Venice, though. My goodness, are there some weirdos.
Manhattan
up and
Beach,
down the
nice.
Old stroll on the beach there.
You know what you do? You rent a little bike.
That's right.
Cruiser
and you can
bike.
Go all, a little cruiser.
Yeah.
And you can go all the way up Venice, Manhattan Beach, all the way from along the beach there. Boomer, why are you guys putting the Jays on Sunday rather than NFL? Do you think I'm making those calls? I'm not even here.
Kate Kersh at rogers.rci.com.
Hey, that A-hat doesn't speak for all the Sasky boys. Love listening. Love the Flames. Keep it up. That's from Jeff in Regina. Hello.
How about Jeff?
Hello, Jeff.
Another Saskatchewan text readable. That's fantastic.
Thanks, NCAA update guy. I feel way better now. Keep it up, Pinder.
I don't know.
Do you think he's being cheeky?
I think yes and no.
Do you think Monahan leads the team in points this season?
Who's his competition? I mean, Hudler?
Glenn
Giordano,
Cross.
If he stays healthy?
Glenn Cross.
I guess. I just don't know that Glenn Cross heading into a UFA, is he here in the spring or is he gone at the deadline?
I don't know.
My gut says he's not here.
I just don't know. When does this Brookbank tryout thing end? He looked awful.
They got a lot of guys that are big and don't really skate well. He'd be one of them.
If we talk about Joe Colburn, then who will Pinder compare him to? It is true. He is your go-to guy.
Oh, no, I just... If you're looking for a
case...
No,
but what about Joe Colburn? Let's move on. It's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Hashtag
Lance Lover. That's a weird text.
Okay. Ivy League, roasted red peppers. Another season of Pinder ripping up Colburn again. Why do you hate this guy so much?
Did I just rip him? I didn't rip him at all.
But again,
said he's got lots of leash.
He's your go-to guy.
It's just an interesting analogy.
Every time you're going to compare somebody to, whether it's Sven or Boma or whoever,
he and Boma were both
you bring
RFAs
up you bring up Colburn as a guy who is, like you said, being given too much leash. You
I'm
don't
not
like
saying
him.
He got too much leash. I'm just saying for everyone saying it's make it or break it for Sven, that would have been a couple of years ago for Joe. And they're both first rounders.
And it was for the Leaf with him and the Leafs. He was in a make it or break it spot, was he not?
Somewhat. I think the trade was more a result of they didn't want to expose him to waivers than anything else. Sven can still go down.
Give Sven time.
I'm with that.
His peers in his draft class are just emerging now. Well, then, to that note, it's time for Sven to emerge somewhat as well.
We're all in a rush to make up our minds on if the guy's made it or not. 22.
That's what we do. Hockey market.
People.
Welcome to a hockey market. I'm going to keep today's edition.
Yeah.
All positive.
Okay.
I'm not going to bring up any more of the, although there were some guys that crushed you a little bit, but I'm going to keep it more or less positive because I think that's what this show's about. Right?
No. It's not about that at all.
No, this show is all about...
No.
Okay. For Varsity Chrysler, it's home of Calgary's largest selection of Jeeps. Go to varsitychrysler.com shop where Geo shops. Tomorrow is Tuesday. Back in studio. Wednesday, we're going to Sylvan Lake, but tomorrow back in studio, who we got tomorrow? We got Stephen Brunt coming in tomorrow. We'll talk to Johnny Huffnagel.
Make the sense of that mess yesterday in Montreal.
I have not confirmed that at all, Jay.
With Huff?
No, there's another guest I thought was probably should send a text. So, yes, potentially some really big things coming on the show tomorrow. Have a good Monday, folks.
Get the fuck out of here.